Lots of ground to cover. Very, very important stuff with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Christmas is 1 week away, and they're open on Christmas Eve. So if you haven't gotten a gift yet for that special significant other of yours, or you know what, doesn't even have to be a special significant other, maybe it's time to get mom a nice piece of jewelry for Christmas. You can shock mom by getting her a nice piece of jewelry by going to Vandermark Jewelers. I was able to visit Jim and Bob Vandermark at the end of last week. I can say that because my wife is not listening to the show right now. She's working. And if you go down there, I'm telling you, it's going to change the way you look at shopping for jewelry. The customer service is top-notch. They have an outstanding selection. And when you go there to get a Christmas gift, you're not going to want to go jewelry shopping anywhere else. So check them out, Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street. They are right across from the hospital. Dave, you and I covered a lot of ground there during that break, talking about very important topics such as good old-fashioned Nerf guns, which you told me you still have plenty of, in addition to, being in a family of engineers who try and restructure these things.
Hey, you know, Nerf is a classic Christmas gift, and what better in the holidays than to plink your cousins with soft darts, right? That's a good old-fashioned O'Brien family Christmas.
Well, you were busy yesterday, my friend, and we've got a lot to get to over the next 10 to 15 minutes here, but taking a look at what you wrote yesterday in this morning's Chronicle Telegram, wow, did you cover a lot of different topics. And I want to start with the downtown Elyria Loop. And I know you rode that yesterday. And I think part of what you were trying to do was get an idea as to how it was going to work, the stops that are made along the way. And I'm sure you spoke to some folks along the way who took that loop as well to try and get an idea as to what the general perception amongst those in the community was. So I just wanted to open all that up to you.
Well, I would have talked to folks who were riding the loop with me. Unfortunately, I was only the second person on the one bus that morning, yesterday morning. And I think the county at this point, the loop goes, it basically follows around downtown, goes past the hospital, crosses over the river, comes back down Washington Avenue. You can stop by, Save-A-Lot or the post office and a couple of parking lots along the way. And I think it's meant for the winter weather, especially, so people aren't trudging through the snow and the cold. I'll note that it wasn't, it didn't hit 40 degrees yesterday until about noon. And I think the loop, let me put it this way. I think the county is adopting sort of a wait and see policy. Let's see how many people ride this, and it's free, and it's a great way. I think if you if you're coming from downtown or you parked in a satellite parking lot, and you want to go stop at the grocery store, or you need to get to the Justice Center, or you need to go from the administration building to your car or wherever, it starts in the Lorain County Transportation and Community Center lot. At least that's a natural, starting point. Plenty of parking, and moves around downtown. County Administrator Mr. Jim Cordes, told me, we're gonna see how it goes, through the holidays, and then see if it's worth continuing, on down the line. So again, kind of a wait and see policy, for how many people end up riding it.
What was the ultimate idea of this? To kind of give people that alternate, I guess, as you pointed out, in the snowy weather so that they didn't have to be driving around all the streets to get to doctor's appointments and things of that nature?
I think that's definitely part of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's to offer people, a heated, heated bus.
Sure.
You can sit down instead of standing, standing out in the cold. No shelters along the way. And if the bus, if you're not waiting there at one of the stops, which I outlined in the story this morning, also you can go on to the Lorain County website and go to the transit site and find out where all the stops are. There's a schedule there. It runs from 7:15 a.m. is the first pickup to 5 p.m. is the last drop off. That's all available all online. And I put it in the story too, just to let people know that it was there. And I think part of it is the winter weather, to afford people, mm-hmm. a way to sit down. And it runs about, 25, 28 minutes the entire loop, okay, depending on how many stops. So
Again, we're talking with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram and our local beat brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Now, I want to get into a different piece that you wrote talking about a couple of drones that were purchased by the Elyria Police Department. Boy, drones are very powerful instruments, and they could do so many special things. And I think it's fascinating how drones have evolved. You know, not just in this sense, but, you know, not long ago, Matt, you and I spoke with Tom Davis. He is the founder and CEO of Flight to Remember. And that gave us a pretty good glimpse as to the kinds of good that drones can do and just how powerful of an instrument a drone can be. But the Elyria Police Department purchased a couple. What's the primary use for these drones going to be?
Well, the primary police function at this point is going to be searching for missing persons. Chief Dwayne Whiteley, you know, told me, I want to be able to search for missing persons from the air. There are certain places that people might go, especially if you're talking about a young kid or somebody with, you know, with developmental or mental illness who might be, you know, who might be running away or might be scared. There's only so many places you can go with a police cruiser, right? Or even on a bicycle or even on foot. From the air, you can see for miles. And putting a drone up in the air and being able to search somebody out at night, turn on that infrared camera, turn on that heat, those heat signatures will show up. You know, people light up like Christmas trees. You know, when you turn that kind of thing on, and you can find somebody maybe hiding in a bush or hiding in a building, whatnot. Also for crash reconstruction, or if you have a large crime scene, say, a house explosion or a fire, our own photographer Bruce Bishop put one up when there was a fire in a church in Lorain. He's got an FAA license, and he went through all the training, and he's been taking photos from the air for some time now. So that's been valuable, for journalistic purposes, but for police purposes, you can get a wider view. Now also, and I hadn't thought about this until the chief mentioned it at city council the other day, was Elyria has a water plant up on the lake, and they pump an awful lot of water down here and distribute it to different customers. Sam Jacob, one of the water superintendents, told me, he said, yeah, I'm going to use these drones to inspect our 5 water towers, to inspect our water distribution lines, to inspect the roof of my water plant. He's excited. You know, he's seen demonstrations. Chief Whiteley's seen demonstrations. I didn't even think about inspecting the water towers, because if you put a man or a woman up in a harness on these towers in the winter with the wind and with the ice and with the snow or in the rain, and you're looking for cracks or rust or to fix something, even communications gear, the repeaters for, say, like this station has, or, for cell phone towers, that kind of thing, that not high altitude, but you know what I mean, mm-hmm. That higher up communications gear, you can go and check that out, use the cameras or the video on the drones to inspect that, and then if you really need to put a person up there you go. But if you don't, you just saved... You know, you could save up to $10,000 per climb.
Yeah, I mean, the safety issues, I'd imagine too. You don't have somebody dealing with the ice and whatnot up
there,
on the water.
There you go. And Chief Whiteley also said to me, especially last night, he said it's about transparency. He said having this drone program under the police department provides the kind of transparency that the public deserves. You know, they're going to keep a log of every time that one of those UAVs, one of those drones, goes in the air. Uh-huh. I'll be able to go over to the police station and say, hey, can I take a look at the UAV log? And it tells me when they went up, what the purpose was, you know, whether it was training or finding a missing person. So that'll be valuable. And he told me that transparency is important to him, and I believe him. And I've told I told some of the critics, some of the folks talking online, that if there comes a time when we question the use of one of these machines, which, by the way, are $35,000 a pop, so two of them is going to be $70,000. But they're specialty police drones. I mean, these are not hobbyists bought it on eBay for $250, yeah, you know, from some guy in Kansas kind of drones. These are specialty drones through a special purchasing program. We're going to question, and we will stay on top of what these are being used for.
Very cool stuff. And it sounds like there's just an infinite amount of information that you can get out of something like this. Sounds very, very fascinating. You had alluded to City Council, the meeting the other night, and there were a couple of big topics that certainly were discussed and some big news coming out of those meetings. The Elyria firefighters and the raises for the non-union employees. What's the latest here?
So City Council approved a collective bargaining agreement with the IAFF, International Association of Firefighters, Local 474, which is the Elyria Fire Department Union. I'm in the process of finding out when the union is going to vote. The membership still has to vote on that particular contract, and we'll see what they do and when they schedule that vote for. Also, these so-called Chapter 165 employees who are non-union city employees, some of them for Elyria Municipal Court. Also, you know, some city hall employees, you know, classified, unclassified, some have certificates, some, you know, work in city hall and elsewhere, hadn't had a raise in 2 years. So in order to bring them into parity with union employees who are employed by the city, who got a 5% raise for each, 2.5% in each of the, 2.5% each in 2017 and 2018 for the AFSCME employees. These Chapter 165 employees are going to need a 5% raise. So City Council approved that. There were a number of these particular employees who were covered under that specific city code, which is Chapter 165, who were in attendance last night, and they applauded when City Council, when Council President Latko banged the gavel, and he and other council members had agreed several nights ago that it was about time. It was about time that these employees were given a raise that they had not received for. Well, their last one was December 2016.
So it's been a couple of years.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good stuff. Well, before we let you go, we've got two more questions for you. One, and this is one of my favorite points of every single week, you hear some interesting things on the scanner.
Sure do.
And we get to find out what particularly you heard on the scanner this week that really kind of made you go, huh? And there were a couple that you both heard and read about. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, we talked in the break a little bit about I was listening the other day, and I heard over the scanner something, and this is what I heard. Now, this is what I heard. I have to preface. This is what I heard about a group of juveniles walking down the street, engaging in what I could only hear as superlative fighting. Now, I kind of imagined it in the old English, you know, superlatives, you know, if, you know, most, most congenial in your yearbook or most, greatest couple or whatever. But I could only imagine a group of juveniles walking down the street saying, I'm the most magnanimous of us all. No, I am the most excellent. No, I am, you know, I am Mr. Congeniality. I am the most congenial of all of us. You know, so it was a strange, it felt to me as a strange kind of fighting. And some people, some of the folks on Twitter were quick to say, now that's a really unique style of fighting.
Yeah, no,
I've never seen that. But also, what we talked about during the break was, I think this is the a very interesting one. A report of a disturbance at Hopkins Airport in Cleveland, for, and I quote, a red-haired female trying to buy a ticket on every airline who has no money and was turned away, then proceeded to take out a Bluetooth speaker and is now dancing and playing music. Again, one can only imagine what was behind that.
Yeah, no question. You could take a lot of different guesses, but that was interesting. I saw you tweet that out. I thought, boy, that's fascinating. We've got to discuss that.
We need to talk about it.
Well, good stuff, my friend. We are off next Tuesday because, well, next Tuesday is Christmas, but we hope to have you on again next Wednesday. And you mentioned you've got a couple of stories in the hopper, so we look forward to discussing those and much, much more when we have you on next week. Have a safe, happy holiday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours and everybody out there in Radioland.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Again, Dave O'Brien joining us with the Chronicle Telegram here on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers.